Turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Just a reminder, please, for everyone that we will be having a Christmas service on Christmas Day, as long as the weather is permitting. Looks like the rough part of the weather will have already been gone through, so we're glad of that. But the cold, I believe it's still going to be cold on Sunday, as long as we don't have a problem with the building. But again, make sure that you sign up to the Church Connection so that we can get to know who you are and get to send you the information that we need to send you. Be sure that you do that and you're willing to do that. Well, tonight it was very interesting because Pastor Ogden had chosen, he is traveling by the weight of his family for the holiday, and he had chosen the order of service beforehand, and he chose two songs that focus on angels. He and I did not talk about this before we were going to do this. He chose two songs focusing on angels, and I want to talk about the angels of the Nativity tonight. Take your Bible with me. Turn to Luke chapter 1, please. Luke chapter 1. And now someone said, Pastor Monty, do you believe in angels? I absolutely do. The Bible affirms that angels are ministering spirits. I may get to that scripture later on as we're talking tonight. The Bible affirms the existence of angels. I find it very funny because people are very interested. A while back, some months ago or so, I don't know when, I did a little series on demons in the Bible, demonology. I do believe in the existence of demons because the Bible teaches that. Jesus taught that. There is no question whatsoever about the fact that there are personal spirits of evil that inhabit this world that are active, I believe, every day in this world. You know, somebody said, well, Pastor Monty, the devil really got on my case. No, he didn't. The devil didn't. He can't be everywhere at once. He is not omnipresent like God. It is not the devil that got on your case, okay? It could be something demonic or a demon that got on your case or that meddled with you, but certainly not the devil. You say, Pastor Monty, if the devil's only one place at a time, where is he? Well, he's in the White House with the Bidens. That's where he is, okay? We all know that. That's where he's. He goes from the White House to China and the Ukraine. He does all those things, and Russia and all that. He's all involved in all that. But so certainly we do believe in that, but someone asked me this past week, do you believe in guardian angels? And yes, I do believe in guardian angels, okay? I believe that the scripture teaches that God places angels to watch out for people. And I think this, you don't necessarily in your life see the direct effect of the angelic, but once in a while, you might get a glimpse. Once in a while. I remember when I was first learning to drive a car. My dad, before he died, had purchased. Does anyone remember that car company, Saab, S-A-A-B? My dad bought one of those cars, and it wasn't the best car. This would go way back into the late 70s. It wasn't the best car in the world, and my dad used to refer to that car as the Saab story. He called it. It wasn't the best car, but it was a stick shift. It wasn't automatic, and so I learned how to drive on a stick shift. By the way, totally burned out one clutch, and it was on that car. Just burned it up. But we were leaving church one Sunday morning after church, and turning onto Broadway Avenue in North Minneapolis. We were leaving the Fourth Baptist Church, and I was to take a left on Broadway Avenue, so that meant crossing one lane of traffic and then taking a left. I was a brand new driver. I wasn't paying good attention, and I just went out into traffic with a vehicle barreling down from some direction. And my mother, of course, screamed. She was sitting in the car. I was only 15. She let out a scream. My brother, said something that I won't repeat in church. And I didn't feel myself turn that wheel. And yet that wheel turned. And we were spared the accident. No accident happened. But I did not feel myself turn that wheel. And of course, your heart's beating frantically when something like that happens. But my takeaway immediately, I said to my mom, I said, I didn't turn that wheel. I didn't turn that wheel. And you say, oh, Pastor Monty, do you really believe? The answer to that would be yes. The answer is yes. I think, and we'll get to the scripture later, but I think that every day in our lives there are God's angels who are watching out for Christian people, and they have an active role in our lives. I believe that. But they don't always show themselves, but they have an active role in our lives. I want to look at four quickly tonight, four angels that were part of the Nativity story, and I want you to notice something, the same thing about each angel, the angels gave the same message to each individual or group that they spoke to, and they gave a reason. Look, if you will, at Luke chapter 1, verse number 5. The Bible says this, "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah of the course of Abijah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless." These were very, very good people. Now, verse number 6 sets the stage for how these were very good and dedicated people. We would say dedicated Christian people. They were good, dedicated people. Verse 6 sets the stage for the fact of verse 7. Look at verse 7. "And they had no child." Now you say, well, Pastor Monty, that's just additional information. No, actually, it is setting the stage because in their line of thinking, good people would be blessed with children. And that line of thinking at that time, if you didn't have any children, there was something wrong. And many of them would think that to be some kind of curse from the Lord. So they're good people. Verse number 6, verse 7, "They had no child because that Elizabeth was barren and they were both now well stricken in years." They're quite old. "And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, they took turns serving in the temple. According to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord." So that was his responsibility that particular time. Normally, by the way, because of the sheer number of priests, they would have an opportunity to serve at the table of incense perhaps once, maybe twice in their entire lifetime. So this was a very special time. Verse number 10 says, "The whole multitude of the people were praying without or outside at the time of the incense. And there appeared unto him," unto Zechariah, "an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense." So this day is a special day for him. It's a big deal for him to be able to perform this service in the temple. "And he sees an angel of the Lord, and Zechariah saw him, and he was troubled, and fear fell upon him." That would be a normal human reaction. Well, you say, but Pastor Monty, angels are good. Yes, they are good, but I prefer not to see them. Okay, I prefer not to go around a corner and be surprised by them. Do you like being surprised? I don't like being surprised. How many of you remember Pastor Falls? Do you remember Pastor Falls, Mark Falls? Pastor Falls, my first assistant pastor here almost 25 years ago. He loved to play tricks on people. He loved to get behind a doorway and then yell when you were coming around. I hate that, okay? It pushes me to the edge of violence, and I shouldn't do that. But anyway, he was that way. So Zechariah was troubled. The Bible says, verse 12, "Fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zechariah." Now, in the four, and I'm going to try to get to all of them tonight, in the four mentions of the angels of the Nativity, their initial message to each person or group was two words, "fear not." Those are very important words. By the way, those words are found throughout the Old and the New Testament. Fear is never considered virtuous. Fear is always considered troubling. It's very interesting because we live in a day and time when people peddle and promote fear. I've never seen anything like it. People are afraid of everything today, every possibility. They're afraid of things. and it's a time when people peddle this. But the angel immediately, in verse 13, says, "Fear not, Zechariah." And then he says these words, and I want you to notice it. So tie the words, "fear not," to the following words. "For thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth." Now, who was this? Of course, this is going to be John the Baptist. "For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. He shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he's a Nazarite. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God." Very interesting. The message was, fear not. Ask yourself a question. Well, Pastor Marty, fear not is the angel's message. Why? Why? And here's the point. Point number one. We're not to be afraid. We're not to be afraid because God's timing is perfect and he answers prayer. Fear not. God's timing is perfect and he answers prayer. You say, Pastor Monty, where is that in the text? Zechariah and Elizabeth had prayed for children. Verses 6 and 7 set the stage to that. They were good people. They did not understand why she was barren, why she had never borne a child. And they were good people. And they had diligently prayed that God would send them a child. And as weeks turned to months and months turned to years, the prayer continued, but the doubt began to grow. And I'm very certain at some point in time, as they got older, they probably quit praying for this and just tried to accept this. By the way, do you know that God will answer prayers that you prayed years ago and stopped praying? How many know that's true? Yeah, I'm not going to go into a story because you'd think it was silly, but I know one where God did something for me. I prayed one little prayer, and 20 years later, God answered that prayer. And then he reminded me that I had prayed that prayer, okay? So what is the angel saying? Zechariah, you have no fear, but he gives the reason why. Your prayer is heard. You're going to have a son. That means this, that God's timing is perfect, and he does answer our prayers. Now, he doesn't always do it on our timetable, folks. We would love it if he did. But the angel said, here's the reason, Zechariah, you don't need to fear, because God's going to answer your prayer. For all these years, that couple had lived with maybe a doubt in the back of their mind, maybe a wondering, perhaps even resentment in the back of their mind for having never been able to have a child. For all these years, they had prayed and they had remained, by the way, they remained faithful to God even when their prayer wasn't answered. I think that's a really important point. They remained faithful to God. It's told us in verse number 6 what good people these were. And for years they prayed, and they didn't get their prayer answered, and they still remained faithful to God. And God said, Zechariah, fear not. I don't need to fear God's timing. I don't need to fear God's timing. Pastor Monty, everything would work out so better in my life if God would do this, 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 and this, and if he would do it by Thursday morning. I know that's how we feel. But you know, God has a bigger view than we have. And this really, while certainly not a virgin birth by any sense of the imagination, this was a biologically doubtful, most likely a biologically impossible birth, similar to Abraham and Sarah. This was that kind of thing where God was going to get glory for himself, and this would be something that would happen toward the end of their life because his timing is perfect. And they were not just going to have a child. They were going to have the one who was prophesied in the Old Testament who would be the herald of the Messiah. They were unique. This was something very, very special. And God said, by delaying your having a child, he said, I am going to do something incredibly unique with that child because my timing is perfect. So let me say something. And this really applies. Think about the new year. Fear not. Why? God answers our prayers. And his timing is always perfect. There is never a reason for me to doubt the timing of God. Well, Pastor Monty, I just want to see something happen right now, okay? Don't pray that way. Pray and bring your petition before the Lord. Leave your petition before the Lord and then trust him to do the right thing. Well, Pastor, if God doesn't answer my prayer about this, then everything's going to fall apart. No, it's not. Do you know, that's fear. God has everything in control, the circumstances and the timing. Fear not, God's timing is perfect, and he answers prayer. Zechariah is an example of that. Now take your Bible, you're in Luke chapter 1. So we're just going to turn over and look at verse number 26. Luke chapter 1 and verse number 26. Because here come some more angels with the same message, but a different reason. We don't have to fear because God's timing is perfect. He answers prayer. Look at verse 26 of Luke chapter 1. The Bible says, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, that's a high-ranking angel, okay? Gabriel is a big deal. Michael is a big deal. Those are archangels. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. Espoused means engaged. Of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Okay, now notice, by the way, those words, house of David, that appears over and over again in Matthew and Luke. Why? Because it talks about the right of Jesus to reign. Verse 28, and the angel came in unto her. This is Gabriel. He is going to have his very first meeting with Mary. The angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary. Why? For thou hast found favor with God. Now, I'm going to talk about that in a moment, but keep reading. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. This was pretty spectacular information, because she and Joseph were merely engaged, and they had not yet been frisky. And this is great information, but it's mind-boggling information. She's going to conceive. And this Jesus, verse 32, he shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. I want you to notice that. Notice that all over the place. Jesus will one day rule and reign on David's throne in Jerusalem. It's a guarantee of the Bible. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom, of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. The promise there of the virgin birth. But he said in verse number 30, the angel did, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Point number two, idea number two. Do not be afraid of God's working in your life. Do not be afraid of God's working in your life. You say, Pastor, what is this? Mary found favor with God, so God was going to use her in a unique way. When God uses someone in a unique way, that presents oftentimes a challenge and oftentimes a change. And the angel is about to announce something that was incredibly unique. Fulfillment of prophecy, Isaiah 7:14, no doubt about that. But Mary didn't understand all of that. And all of a sudden, this angel bursts into her life. Now, I want you to think about this. I want you to picture Mary. Mary is a young girl. She fell in love with Joseph the carpenter. They have become engaged, betrothed. They are in that day and time, by the way, engagement was a very legal thing. Okay, engagement was where they actually signed paperwork, and there was oftentimes money and things exchanged between the families. Their engagement was a legal matter. It was different from our engagement, where people just give somebody a ring and then they can take the ring back and whatever. It's different from that. An engagement at that time would have required, if it was to be broken, it would have required a divorce. It was the legal part. In Jewish culture, they had a legal marriage, and then they had the spiritual ceremony that happened later. Okay, and there was a time period between these two. So it was interesting, because they had not come together physically as husband and wife at this point. But the angel then, you know, she's excited. She's a young bride. She's preparing for a big wedding feast. All the fancy stuff would happen on the spiritual end of the thing, at the final closure of their betrothal period. All the fun and the party and all that would happen then. She's making all these plans. She's thinking about all these things. All the things that a bride would think about are running through her mind. And all of a sudden, this angel says, Mary, you're highly favored. Now let me throw a monkey wrench into your life. Isn't that interesting? Highly favored, here's the monkey wrench. You're going to have a child. You're going to be with child. It will not be Joseph's child. And this child that you will carry will be called the Son of God. Wow, what an announcement. Now, that trumps the wedding. Okay, it really does. It trumps the wedding. But the angel said the words, fear not. Make a statement here. God challenges us in our lives. And sometimes God brings big changes to bear in our lives to do something for us, and to do something through us, and to do something with us. And when God does that, the message to you is fear not. Pastor Monty, I'm heading into a different stage of life. Well, we all are, because nothing ever remains the same. How many of you would love it if everything could just remain the same? I would. I would have stopped everything in the 1980s. How many loved the 1980s? I loved the 1980s. It was a time of big hair. Everything was big. People talk about minimalism. That was the maximalist decade. And remember, Ronald Reagan was our president. How many remember that? Wasn't that good? Ronald Reagan was our president. What a great time. I would love to just stop everything right in the 1980s. That was kind of my heyday. That doesn't happen in life. God brings us to points of change, and he brings us to points of challenge. And Mary, who was very surrendered to God's will, highly favored, a godly young lady, not sinless, okay, by any stretch of the imagination, but a godly young lady, Mary, who was expecting to live a rather normal life, God all of a sudden stepped in, interrupted all of that, turned it all on its head, and said, Mary, you're going to be doing something unique. You will forever be known as the woman who bore the Messiah, and forever you're going to be special in all of history. Mary, here it is. And then the angel said, fear not. Can I make a statement? Whatever God challenges you to do, you can do it, and you should not fear. Whatever change comes into your life, if that change be something that is sent by the Lord in His sovereignty and His plan, you can undertake that and not fear. Some years ago, I was visiting with Dr. and Mrs. Arlen Horton down at Pensacola. I had the privilege of really knowing them well and having a closeness in our relationship. And Dr. Horton and his wife took me and my wife out to dinner one night at a steakhouse in downtown Pensacola, and we were eating our steaks, and Dr. Horton got all excited, and he said, would you like to come see our home? Would you like to come see our home? And I'd always wanted to see the Horton's home. They had a beautiful home on, I think it was on Grandview Bay or something like that. It was owned by the college, of course, and they had a very nice home. And I said, we'd love to see your house. And by the way, for people that were that successful, it wasn't something ostentatious at all. It was not ostentatious. It was very nice. It was a very nice home on the water, but it wasn't ostentatious. And I remember we went into the house and looked at, they were showing us around their house. And they had cats. The Hortons had cats, several cats. And Mrs. Horton said, I said, wow, you have these cats. And she said, yeah. She said, I find them. And she said, they come on the campus and I just find them and bring them home. I'll tell you what, those cats hit the lottery, okay? It was a really nice house. They hit the lottery living there. And so she had these cats, and Dr. Horton took us to a room that was her office area. And on her desk, she had all of the Sunday school curriculum that she had written for Joyful Life. Now here's a woman, by the way, great, great Bible scholar, very, very knowledgeable. And she had all of this curriculum sitting out there. And these are, they're very old, elderly people now. They're elderly people. And Mrs. Horton said, she said this, and remember, they founded a college, a multi-billion dollar institution. They've done more for the Lord than any two people I know to live in the last 100 years. And it's amazing what they've done. But she said, see that Sunday school curriculum? And I said, yes. She said, of all the things the Lord has allowed me to do, she said, this Sunday school curriculum is my favorite thing. She said, the teaching of children, she had a burden. Pastor Ronnie, how did they start this college? In the 1950s, they went to Pensacola. They had a little car with a trailer behind it. On the trailer, there was a foot pump organ. How many do you know what that is? Foot pump organ. Dr. Horton would drive that to a park in Pensacola. She would start playing the foot pump organ. Children in the park would gather, and she would tell them Bible stories. Okay, this is how Pensacola Christian College started. They founded a small Christian school in Pensacola, and it turned into the college that it is today. It's one of the most remarkable stories ever. And she talked about her Sunday school curriculum. And I knew they were elderly, and I said, Dr. Horton, I said, beautiful, beautiful home here. I said, what are your next steps? And he said, I've got it all planned out. Brilliant mind. He said, got it all planned out. He said, someday, he said, and it's going to be soon, he said, my wife and I will know that we can no longer live by ourselves in this house, even with help. He said, we're going to know that. And so he said, when that day comes, we're going to know it because the Lord's going to tell us. He said, we have it all set up at Azalea Trace Nursing Home. We have it all set up to go into an apartment assisted living at Azalea Trace. He said, the only rule at that place is we have to walk in under our own power. We have to walk in. We're ready to go. We've got the place. It's all ready to go. And so that day came, and they left their beautiful home on the bay, and they went over there. I went to visit them when I was down there speaking, and I said to Dr. Horton, I said, well, how do you like this? And he said this to me. He said, this is just another chapter. He said, we're really excited to see what God is going to do with us in this chapter of our lives. And I was amazed by that, because I wouldn't want to leave the home on the bay. I'd be depressed. How many would be depressed? They weren't just showing off. They were truly sincere that this was the next chapter in their lives. And some years ago, Mrs. Horton passed away, and Dr. Horton, by the way, is remarried. He's in his 90s, and I know. I know. And his whole life, he said, I was at his home after his wife had passed away. I was at the apartment visiting with him. And he said, and he's in his 90s. And he said, Dr. Monty, I've got to show you what I'm doing. And I said, what are you doing, Dr. Horton? He said, I've started a new business. What? He said, yeah. I said, it's a piano lesson business. And you can go online. And he's explaining all this technology to me and all these people that are involved in this. He said, I'm going to undercut every piano teacher in America when this thing goes online. He was so excited. And he said, I don't need any money. He said, all of the money from this is going to be poured into Christian causes all over the country. He said, that's my desire. And here he is, folks, in his 90s. And he took this attitude, whatever God has for me. It wasn't fearful about the change. It wasn't, well, you know, this is just too much, Lord, I can't do this. We all get overwhelmed. I get overwhelmed, okay? But what does the angel say? The angel comes and says, fear not. So you're facing some change in your life. The angel says, fear not. If you're walking in the will of God and you're walking through the seasons of life, the message to you is fear not. Mary was going to do something colossal with her life. And the angel said, fear not. But let me hurry, give you another one. Okay, now turn to Luke. I put these in... Pardon me, Matthew. Turn to Matthew. I put these in chronological order for you. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Another angel story. Matthew chapter 1. Look at verse number 18. Matthew 1 verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph. Now, by the way, Joseph hasn't heard the announcement yet. And Mary has told him this. He knows that she is with child. And Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. In other words, they're engaged, they're betrothed, this is a legal thing, we'll have to go through a divorce. Mary has clearly been unfaithful, but I love Mary anyway, and I don't want to publicly shame her. I'm not willing to embarrass her or bring her before the elders of the gate or anything like that. I'm not going to do all of that. But he was pondering about it, because you know, doubtless, this man's heart was broken. There's no question about that. And his life was now in upheaval. Now, I'm sure Mary said, hey, I met this angel, and the angel said that this child is really from the Holy Ghost. And can't you just see Joseph rolling his eyes? I can. Would any of you men believe that? Would you? Nope, not for 10 seconds, okay? Joseph was just like you. Look what it says in verse 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph. Now, this is a dream, but it is still the angel of the Lord. Joseph, by the way, the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord. Well, who is that? Pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus is in the womb of the Virgin Mary, and the angel of the Lord appears to him in a dream. It is Jesus himself. Are you following me? It's very significant. But we're going to use the word angel here. Jesus himself. The angel of the Lord appeared in a dream saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear. Now notice the message. Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. The third fear not is this. Don't fear ridicule or public opinion. So the whole concern was what would people think. You say, Pastor, how do you know that from the passage? Because Joseph wanted to put her away privately. That was the goal. I love Mary, and Mary's made a horrible mistake. She's been unfaithful to me. I don't want some big public thing. I've got to figure out a way to kind of try to protect her, but there's no way I'm going to marry her at this point. And Mary says, wait a minute, Joseph, the baby's from the Holy Ghost. It's it's not what you're thinking. And Joseph is doubting that. And the angel says, fear not to take unto thee Mary. Why? For that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost. Here's the point. Joseph, don't be afraid to marry Mary, because that's not your baby. You didn't jump the gun. Mary has not been unfaithful. This is precisely what has happened. And you're going to have to marry her and go through all of the public ridicule and the doubt and the gossip and the questioning, Joseph, I'm calling you, listen to these words, to buck public opinion. To buck the popular opinion. Joseph, fear not. You and Mary know what is happening. And you can tell the rest of the world what is happening, and they're not going to believe it. But Joseph, don't be afraid. There is a God in heaven who sustains believers against criticism. So this past year, our theme was the word bold at our church. By the way, we're going to change the theme up. You'll have a new theme coming up in January, but we're going to keep the same attitude of boldness. Okay, we're not going to change anything about that. And sometimes when you take a stand for something, you risk being misunderstood, and you certainly risk personal ridicule. Let me make a statement. The angel of the Lord says, fear not. If you're called to something, if this is what God has said to do, if the Lord's word, so Mary already had the Lord's word through the angel Gabriel, that which will be conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost. Now, Joseph is hearing from the angel of the Lord, that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost. If you have God's word on something, you can stand and take your stand and never fear criticism, ridicule, or mockery. We said, Pastor Ron, you know, people are just not going to understand. Newsflash, the general population has never understood genuine Christians. Never understood. Christianity is always a counterculture movement, period. We believe things that some years ago people, the criticism years ago was this. Well, Pastor Ronnie, you believe in 6-day literal creation? That's unscientific. Yeah, I believe in it. Well, that's unscientific. Well, then you get ridiculed for that. By the way, I still believe in it, okay? And it's frankly not unscientific, but I'm not going to get, that would be a long rabbit trail. But I believe in that. We're ridiculed for that. Pastor Monty, here's the ridicule today. You believe that boys are boys and girls are girls? Yeah, I really do, because it's what the Bible says. But Pastor Monty, if you don't fold to this, the woke culture is going to really criticize you. I don't care. Those people are the dumbest people on the planet. Amen. Every last one of them. I just can't even imagine how dumb you can be. So I'm so troubled. I was telling someone in the lobby, I have a doctor's appointment. I'm very leery. I'm not trying to change your opinion about doctors, but I'm very leery about the medical community. If you're a doctor and you can stare at a 10-year-old boy and ask him if he's a boy or a girl, you're too dumb to be a doctor. Okay, you have no business being a doctor. If, by the way, if you're a doctor or if you're a medical institution and you practice the butchering of little boys and girls to change their sex, and butchering is the proper word, that is the highest form of abuse I can possibly imagine. And if you practice that garbage, you are not one step better than Adolf Hitler. You're not one step better than the Nazi scientists who performed unspeakable experiments on Jewish people. When you mutilate children, and by the way, you're doing it for money. You're doing it for money. You say, Pastor, you know, you're just... No. Why can't... if you speak out like this, what? What? What are you going to do about it? The angel said, fear not. What are you going to do about it? Well, Pastor Monty, we're going to be criticized. Welcome to my world, folks. Amen? I love what the Bible says about Moses, that he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than all the treasures of Egypt. What if, and what about the apostles in the book of Acts? The Bible says that they bore with gladness and joy the reproach of Christ. Can I tell you something about our culture? Our culture in this country is not our friend. And the angel of the Lord says, fear not. Of course people are going to have their opinions. And you know what we're going to keep doing? Preaching that book. Amen. You know what's going to happen? People are going to get saved. And lives are going to get changed. But Pastor Marty, what if they come against you? So what? So what? Fear not. I refuse to be sucked into this culture of fear that is being pushed upon us. Everything, you know, the COVID and the this and the that, and now everyone's talking about the next pandemic. You know, it's time to be done with this, okay? Fear not. God has a plan. Fear not. The opinions of men, they come and go. And by the way, the opinions and the trends of men come and go so fast nowadays, it's breathtaking how quickly an issue arises. This is the most important thing in the world. And boom, it's gone in a week. How utterly ridiculous. We're never going to get caught up in that. Fear not. We're going to continue to take our stand with clarity and fear not. The Bible tells us that the fear of man bringeth a snare. A snare is a trap. I don't want to be trapped by fear. And so the angel told Joseph, fear not. You know, he's going to have a lot of public criticism. At the wedding, people are going to be talking. A lot of people are going to be gossiping. His buddies are going, hey, Joseph, you know, something's going on with Mary. You can imagine what's being said. And the angel just says, fear not, because I have singled you out to do something special. And all the world's opinion, by the way, later on, Jesus, that when the Pharisees were criticizing Jesus and Jesus was pushing back on the Pharisees' criticism, the Pharisees said, well, we be not born of fornication. What was that? That was a declaration that they knew that over the years this rumor had passed that somehow Jesus was illegitimate. Joseph had to live with that, and the angel said, fear not. And one last thing, and this is my favorite one, but I'll be quick. Luke chapter 2. I've tried to go in chronological order for you tonight. The fear nots of the angels, Luke chapter 2. Look with me at verse number 8. Luke chapter 2, verse number 8. The Bible says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. The shepherds at the shepherds' fields, which was the property owned by Boaz and was passed down through the family and was owned by Jesse. It was the same piece of property where David was anointed king by the prophet Samuel. It's a wonderful, wonderful place to visit in Bethlehem if you ever have the chance to do it. Wonderful place to visit. There was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. These are the shepherds gathered there. The glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not. Now that kind of cracks me up. Because here's these shepherds peacefully sitting around probably the dying embers of a campfire late on that night, and the blackness of the Judean sky with the stars shining down upon them like 10,000 diamonds spread across black velvet. And there's probably a little bit of a chill in the air, and everything's peaceful and quiet, and the shepherds are probably half slumbering, and they've eaten their lamb stew for the night, and they're probably a little tired, and they're sitting there kind of slumbering. And then all of a sudden, everything just explodes in light, and there's these angels, and at the top of their lungs, they scream, fear not! I think that's funny, because I think the angels know they scared them. But here's the angelic presence coming. And what does the angel say? The angel said in them, verse 10, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The angel said, fear not. Don't fear the future. Jesus Christ is here. Don't fear the future. Jesus Christ is here. The shepherds are gathered there on the Judean hillside. I'm sure they had some discussion about things in their lives. Things were at this point relatively stable in Israel, but Israel was the vassal kingdom of the kingdom of Rome. Herod, who was a wicked man, he was a butcher and a horrible person. Herod was king, and they enjoyed some level of freedom religiously as long as they obeyed Rome. But every patriotic and true Jew knew that they were under oppression. And every patriotic and true Jew viewed the independence of Israel as its own land and its own nation as something for which they had a birthright from God. By the way, that is true. And so there was always in the Jewish consciousness at this time a nagging thought that something is not right. And the Jews also understood from the mouths of their own prophets that when a foreign nation would oppress them and take them away captive or would rule over them, that all of that was a mark of the judging hand of God. These shepherds were not dumb people. While they had probably a relatively peaceful life, they also knew that the promises of the prophets had not yet been fulfilled. All of the glories of a time when a Messiah would rule and reign and Israel would be the central nation of the world and their Jewish Messiah would be the king of all the universe. And they knew these prophecies, all the things that they knew. They also knew that that wasn't happening right now. And the angel appeared and said, "Fear not, don't be afraid of the future because Jesus Christ is here." I love that, ladies and gentlemen. I love that. Because things aren't what they ought to be in the good old USA, and we all know it. And I say to you, fear not, Jesus Christ is here. Fear not. Well, you said, but Pastor Monty, things are going from bad to worse, okay? In some departments, they are. And I say to you, fear not, Jesus Christ is here. Because the angel's message was this, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The angel said, this shall be good tidings of great joy, and this shall be to all people. Is that true? It's 100% true. Here's the bottom line. I know that in this world, it seems like evil has the upper hand. You watch that on the news. I know that. The angel says to me, fear not, because God holds the future. And listen to this. The future is centered in Jesus Christ. If you notice the scripture we read, there was the common theme, fear not. But there was also the theme of this, that Jesus will sit on the throne of his father David. In the passages we read, there is reference to the fact that this baby who is to be born will be king of the universe. And in the words of the New Testament, he will be King of kings and Lord of lords. And in the words of the New Testament, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. And he shall reign forever and ever. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, fear not. Wow, the Democrats stole the election. I do believe that they did. I believe that. That's my personal view. You can disagree with me. I believe in that. I don't know if we're ever going to have another honest election again as long as we're using computers. I do not trust them. Paper, paper, paper. I love paper. How many of you love paper? I love everything to be paper. They give you this option, go paperless. Why would you do that? Paper is such a wonderful thing. You can store it, you can keep it, you can burn it in times when your heat goes out and you have no electricity. You could set all your junk mail on fire. Just don't burn your house down, folks. Okay. Paper is a wonderful thing. All of these things could become very disconcerting to us. But Jesus Christ is born. Jesus Christ is our Savior, and Jesus Christ is our coming King. I don't have time to do this. I'd love to do it tonight, but you can do it when you go home. If you want a word on that, read Psalm 2. Read Psalm 2. Boy, I'll tell you what, the God will laugh, and the heathen he will have in derision. God will laugh. I'm telling you, folks, Jesus Christ will reign. Fear not. So what about 2023? What about it? My pastor, Dr. Clearwaters, used to always say this. Well, if you think things were bad this year, it's going to be worse next year. By the way, he was right. He was right about that. 42 years our pastor at the Fourth Baptist Church. He was right about that. But the message of the Bible is this. Fear not. And you and I can march boldly into 2023 without the slightest fear, because that's the message. Fear not. He is in full control. So, we're going to celebrate Christmas. We're going to have a great Christmas. I hope you have a great Christmas. By the way, all diets canceled for Christmas. I officially cancel all diets for Christmas around this church. We're done. Even my keto diet will be put on hold. Not doing it, okay? Going to have a great time. But in a world of great uncertainty, I want you to remember what the angel said four times in relationship to the Nativity. The angel said this, fear not. He's on the throne. Fear not. He's our Savior. Fear not. He controls everything. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. And fear not. Father, thank you for the scripture. Thank you, Lord, for the message, unified message of the angels. And then they're explaining why we don't have to be afraid. Lord, in a world that promotes and pushes fear, Father, we give ourselves over to you and to trusting you. Father, in a world of change where sometimes we're called to move from one phase of life to the next or changes come, Lord, help us to embrace the words, fear not. And Lord, let us as Christians with great faith in our hearts march boldly into the coming year to take ground for Christ and to proclaim his name in our community and to love him better. Thank you for all that you do for us. I pray, Lord, for all of our church family that they'll have a wonderful time with friends and family and all the gatherings and events of this season. Lord, for ones that are sick or suffering now, I pray your special blessing and care upon them. But Father, we pray that our hearts would listen to the message of the angels to fear not. Thank you, Lord, for your love. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, and you are all dismissed.